Welcome to Wild About Utah, a partnership of the Stokes Nature Center, the Bridgerland Audubon Society, and Utah Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Holly Strand of the Quinney College of Natural Resources at Utah State University. Deserts are dry by definition, receiving an average of less than 10 inches of precipitation a year. In Utah's cold West Desert, the skimpy amount of moisture slakes the thirst of sagebrush, saltbush, or greasewood, but not much else. However, just like the Sahara, the West Desert has its oases. In certain lowland valleys, you'll find complexes of pools and marshes. There isn't enough rain to form these freshwater sanctuaries. The water comes from giant underground aquifers. Underneath the West Desert, the aquifer system acts as a storehouse for runoff from the surrounding mountains. As rainwater or snowmelt enters or recharges the aquifer system, water pressure can build up in some areas. This pressure moves water through cracks and tunnels within the aquifer, and sometimes this water flows out naturally in the form of a spring. These desert springs and the resulting pools and marshes permit concentrations of animals and plants not possible under normal desert conditions. You'll find sedges, rushes, cattails, and many other wetland plants. Both migratory and year-round birds congregate here. There are even a couple of frog species. But most remarkable are the desert spring residents that have survived from the days when the West Desert formed the floor of giant Lake Bonneville. Surveys have revealed a number of relict snails and other mollusks that still persist from that time. Some, like the Black Canyon Perg, exist at a single spring complex only. They are found nowhere else on Earth. Certain native fish were also left high and dry by Lake Bonneville's recession. The least chub is a good example. Now the sole member of its genus, this 3-inch-long survivor is an unassuming but attractive little minnow. It is olive-colored on top and sports a gold strip on its steel-blue sides. It swims in dense but orderly schools in either flowing or still water. It can withstand both temperature variations and high salinity. The ability to tolerate different physical conditions has undoubtedly helped the least chub survive the post-Lake Bonneville millennium. Even so, the least chub was hanging on in only 6 different locations, until Utah's Division of Wildlife Resources reintroduced it to several more sites within its historic range. The division and its conservation partners are still working to reduce threats to the least chub, to other spring residents, and to the spring habitats themselves. For more information and pictures, go to www.wildaboututah.org. Thanks to Chris Kelleher of Utah's Department of Natural Resources for his help in developing this Wild About Utah story. For Wild About Utah, I'm Holly Strand.
Wild About Utah is a partnership of the Stokes Nature Center, the Bridgerland Audubon Society, and Utah Public Radio. For transcripts and archived audio of Wild About Utah, go online to upr.org and click on the Wild About Utah link. Support for Wild About Utah on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our listeners and the Quinney College of Natural Resources at Utah State University, where students and faculty promote the sustainability of ecosystems and the communities that depend on them. Information at cnr.usu.edu.